Hello and welcome to another Lush podcast. Now, what image would come into your head if I were to say vegan Christmas dinner? Something colourful, cruelty-free and full of veg goodness, or something boring with a big hole where the turkey should be? If the former, you're probably already vegan or veggie. If the latter, well, Marianne Hall, Viva's food and cookery coordinator, who works on the Viva Vegan Recipe Club, as well as at Demuth's Vegetarian Cookery School, is here to prove to us all that a vegan Christmas dinner is a vibrant, tasty and nutritious alternative to the more typical meat and dairy overload of December the 25th. My name is Charlie Moores, and with my Lush colleague Lauren Marina, herself a vegan, we visited Marianne at Viva HQ in Bristol. I began our conversation by asking Marianne how she approached cooking Christmas dinner.
Gosh, I mean, I love Christmas dinner. I know it's quite daunting for a lot of people, but actually I love it. I love roast dinner. That's my favourite meal ever. That would be my desert island food, I think. So Christmas dinner is a sort of extravagant version of a normal roast dinner. So I think it's a really, really nice opportunity to show all the wonderful vegan options that are out there, but in one meal.
Yeah. So when you're talking roast dinner, you're not talking roast chicken or roast turkey.
I'm not. No, definitely not. I went vegetarian when I was about 12, and my parents were also veggie, so that was quite easy
for me
in that
respect.
So it
was within the family already.
Yeah. So I didn't have that obstacle to overcome, but my mother was a terrible cook. I know some people have these stories.
Does she know that?
She does. She's okay. Self-confessed. It's okay.
She's not going to listen to this
My daughter
just said, what a terrible cook I am.
Luckily not. She knows. Got
better. I did give you the edit option. You're okay with that one?
No, she's fine with that. So I do have this memory of this very, very sort of dry, crusty nut roast on the table at Christmas dinner. And I did get a very, very bad impression of what it was like, which partly is what inspired me to get into cooking in the first place.
Right.
So I sort of imagined there was this world of lovely food out there, and there was.
That your mother wasn't presented to you. God bless her.
I know. She's okay with it. Nut roast, just talking about nut roast. We had Richard Buckley, the head chef and owner of Acorn Restaurant in Bath, and he did a cookery demonstration for us at the last Viva event, which was fantastic.
Right.
And he was sort of talking about nut roast, saying, you know, it's one of these dishes that people say, oh, it's only nut roast. What other options
are
there?
It's kind of staple food for vegetarians, isn't it?
It's one of those, you know, you go to a restaurant and you think, oh, what am I getting? It's going to be nut roast. But actually, he said, whenever he puts it on the menu, it's the most popular dish and gets snapped up straight away. So nut roast has got a bit of a bad press, but actually there's a reason it is so popular, and it's because it's delicious.
Is that being snapped up by vegetarians or meat eaters looking for something different?
Ah, well, Acorn is a vegetarian restaurant.
Do they get non-vegetarians through the door as well?
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Just trying out a vegetarian meal for a change.
That's it, yeah. I mean, often the vegetarian and vegan will dictate which restaurant the group goes to, which is another reason why it's so important for restaurants to provide veggie and vegan options. So
when you cook a Christmas dinner then, like the standard image of a Christmas dinner is it started the night before, there's ovens are taken up, it takes so much planning. Does it take as much planning for you? Does the same level of care and commitment have to go into it?
I like to cook, and I like to have a wide variety of options. So, yeah, I will take time doing it, but it's not a week-long affair.
And
because obviously, yeah, it is my job. I do have quite a few recipes to hand. Actually, we've got a new deliciously vegan Christmas guide at Viva.
With a very nice pudding on the front.
We've gone very mini this year, so there's lots of mini versions of everything,
right,
and individual versions, but I am actually genuinely going to be having some of the recipes out of this guide this year. Starter wise we've got a really, really good selection on the Vegan Recipe Club website. We've got a whole Christmas section. I'm not personally one for starters myself, because I just like having a huge spread of everything all together, but we've got sort of vegan pigs in sun-dried tomato blankets as a starter, one option, to things like jalapeno poppers, which is, you know, jalapeno peppers with vegan cream cheese wrapped in breadcrumbs, and many things in between. So that the
I didn't mean to interrupt you. No. I was just going to say, for a lot of people who are listening to this who aren't vegan or aren't even vegetarian, they'd be amazed to think there's vegan cream cheese.
Yeah. It's in most health food shops and now in many supermarkets as well.
And it tastes good.
It does, actually. Yeah, it does. I don't know if you've heard about the Gary revolution, same for us, but yeah, they've also done a vegan cream cheese, and I believe Tesco and a couple of the others have got one. So, but you can spice it up. If you don't like it as it is, then you can spice it up with herbs and spices and phyllo pastry and all ways to dress it up. So,
I pulled up a Christmas dinner from the BBC website. I was going to come here and do a sort of a like for like.
Yeah.
But really, that's not the point, is it? Because you don't need to replace smoked salmon with a smoked salmon alternative. There are so many vegan alternatives that you can have as starters, like you were just saying.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it is possible to veganize most traditional recipes
if you want to.
I don't know if it's in the dictionary, but it's certainly what we use.
We should press the Oxford Dictionary to get that.
Yeah,
in.
Definitely.
Word of the year 2017, veganize.
It is possible to sort of get the same texture and the same flavours and using herbs and spices again. But obviously there's a lot of meat substitutes out there and dairy replaces. So really you can make vegan versions, but the vegan dishes in themselves are so wonderful and full of flavour in their own right that you don't necessarily need to.
I think people would be surprised at the amount of flavour in a vegan, because there's still this image still, isn't there? It's nuts and lettuce and it's basically flavourless food that doesn't have a texture and doesn't give you anything back when you eat it.
That's it. So much that you can do with vegetables and then all the other things in between as well. But there's really, really, in this day and age, with the availability of ingredients that we've got, there's just no need to do anything else.
So you can't really blame your mum, actually, when you think about it, when she was cooking those vegetarian meals back then, you couldn't go down to a supermarket. There were no vegan shops. You just had to buy what was available and then try and veganize that.
I mean, no disrespect to my mother. It just wasn't in her blood to be a good cook. She has actually got better. She got taught by her partner, who's a chef, so she is a little bit better now. But anyway,
we should leave your mum alone.
Yeah. But yes, I mean, in terms of traditional main courses, moving on from the starters.
Yeah.
I mean, in the guide, for example, I'm talking about that because it's the most sort of recent, up to date thing that we've got, and it's full of really nice recipes. We've got little individual nut roasts, so it's a slightly modern twist on the classic nut roast. They're created in little loaf tins, which you can get from, you know, Lakeland and M&S, places like that. And they've got a lovely cranberry sauce on the top. But they look very beautiful. So if you do want that slightly modern, fancy twist, it's just a very classic recipe, but presented in a different way.
Before we talk about turkey alternatives, that's a very interesting point there about making food look good, because that's the other thing that's often thrown at, well, certainly in the older days, vegetarian and vegan food, it looked boring. It was brown. You're saying now the vegan food of today is just as attractive looking as any restaurant food you'd buy anywhere.
Absolutely. And it can be more so because of the use of vegetables. And, you know, spices, there's so much colour. Yeah, exactly. And there's so many ways to dress food that's very easy. Lots of tricks and things to make it look very attractive very easily.
Spill the beans, give us some tricks.
Well, I think just say, for example, with the nut roast, just making them in little individual portions rather than a large, predictable loaf tin. You know, it creates a very modern look to it. Well, I'll come on to desserts later, but, you know, putting a classic tiramisu in little mason jars, again, just puts that lovely modern twist on everything that makes everyone go, oh, wow, doesn't that look great? I mean, not only is it impressive that, you know, you've got the vegan version, but you've got them with little individual portions. And everyone's always jealous of them if they're not eating them.
It's very true, isn't it? Part of eating food is what you see with your eyes as well. I mean, it's just it's not as important as the taste, but your eyes prepare you for what's coming. It's interesting to hear that this new wave of vegan cooking is looking at the way things are presented as well.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't have to be difficult, like you said. I mean, you can just put it in a nice pot with some lovely fresh herbs to create that extra green in contrast to maybe if you've got a stew or a soup. You can put toasted nuts on things, you know, just lots of sprinkles to make everything, yeah, just to bring out the colour and make it more beautiful. So,
yeah.
I think there really is a big interest in making vegan food look really enticing and beautiful. We see it on the multiple Instagram pages that are out there, all those beautiful, colourful bowls of really nutritious food.
Yeah.
And then further from that, the sheer amount of cookbooks that are coming out now, it's not just straightforward, basic dishes that are being created now. There's really exciting and vibrant dishes that are filling up pages and pages of all sorts of different cookbooks and magazines. I really think part of it is there is the element of challenge with veganism as well. And I think that's what really excites me when I'm cooking, because it is challenging to come up with tasty, exciting, beautiful looking vegan dishes. But the satisfaction that you get from it is tenfold what you get with those kind of maybe dishes that you've made in the past when you weren't vegan. So there is that element of complete satisfaction as well.
Definitely. Yeah, completely agree.
I think it's more of a challenge then to create something tasty with vegan recipes, because that's not the impression I'm getting.
I don't think it's more of a challenge to create something tasty. I think it's really, really accessible. But I know what Laura means in terms of you feel like you've done something a lot more creative than just relied on cheese, for example, to make something taste good, or rely on butter.
Right.
You're using other ingredients and other skills to, you know, bring out the flavour of certain vegetables or certain combinations of foods. But once you've got some ideas, once you've found some inspiration, it becomes very, very easy. And you can just draw on, you know, various different items, ingredients, put them together. You become a lot more creative just naturally.
Do you have to do these dishes several times before you get them to the standard that you want, or are they quite easy to get right first time?
So the ones I've mentioned so far, you could do it straight off. I mean, obviously, within the vegan world, as in, you know, in everywhere else, there's variations. You know, you've got very, very basic, and then you've got gourmet.
Sure.
So, you know, and then everything in between. So it really depends where your starting point is. But there are so many recipes out there that are easily accessible for every level of chef.
So let's talk about, we've avoided it so far, let's talk about turkey.
Turkey, okay.
Which has become a tradition out of nowhere, only really started being consumed in the 1950s. Turkey eating does seem to be declining, but some people still see that big, fat, dead bird on the table as tradition. That's what makes Christmas. What's the vegan, not necessarily an alternative for turkey meat, but what's the alternative centrepiece for a vegan table?
For example, on Vegan Recipe Club, we've got a recipe which is seitan roast with a yuba skin, which might not mean anything. Because it's all very bizarre.
Puzzled looks from this side of the table.
Seitan is amazing. It's got an unfortunate name, but it's spelt very differently.
Seems perfect for Christmas. Let's celebrate with seitan. No, sorry. Explain seitan.
It's basically made from vital gluten flour, and it creates a really wonderful consistency, sort of not dissimilar to a sort of vegetarian sausage. It's got a really, really lovely flavour. And the roast that I'm talking about in particular is a stuffed version. So it creates a really, really lovely centrepiece. It's almost like a sort of Swiss roll style. I don't like to call it a turkey equivalent, but, you know, it has got that nice centrepiece style to it, where you would cut sections from it, and it looks very beautiful because it's stuffed and rolled so that you get a nice pattern all the way through. So that's really impressive.
Kind of like a Yule log.
It is, yeah. It is like that. Yeah.
A savoury Yule log. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. There's a chef, actually, a Manchester-based chef called Matthew Nutter, who is the owner of the Allotment vegan restaurant there. Mm. And he says that he can make cauliflower taste better than turkey. And he's come up with a wonderful recipe. It's like a southern fried cauliflower, which he's made with paprika, onion powder, garlic, salt, thyme, rosemary to sort of give it a Christmassy flavour. But that is supposedly incredibly popular in his restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's not just the sort of alternatives. You can actually make vegetables a centrepiece in their own right.
Right, so, okay.
Yeah.
I've managed to convince my mum to do a totally vegan Christmas this year, and we were having a look at recipes a few days ago. We've decided to do a mushroom Wellington.
Yeah.
So we've got that, obviously, that pastry case on the outside, and then that really nice flavoured seasoned mushroom in the middle. And I think that similarly will make quite a nice centrepiece.
Definitely. Yeah, the Wellingtons are really, really lovely. And if your mum wanted to look in our guide, we've gone again into the individual route. And so we've made some individual mushroom Wellingtons. So there's just individual mushrooms covered with the puff pastry, stuffed with chestnuts, nuts, and spinach as well. And also vegan Parmesan, which I think is essential for every Christmas, because you can spice up your vegetable side dishes with it, and also it goes really well in a number of the main courses.
Is that easy to find?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we actually sell a lovely one at the Viva shop, an Angel Food Parmesan, and then you can get fresh ones. Violife now do a fresh Parmesan, which is really, really good, and you can get that in most independent health food shops.
One of the criticisms of vegetarian food, I don't know whether it's a criticism is the right word, but people say, if you don't want to eat meat, why do you make your food taste like meat? My answer has always been, you don't eat a turkey because you like to kill a bird and rip its flesh up. Mm. You like the taste of turkey. So why shouldn't I like the taste of a replacement meat? I don't see any big difference in that. Am I alone
in
that?
Or is that something you'd agree with? Absolutely, I completely agree. I mean, most people don't necessarily give up meat and dairy because they don't like the taste of them. Mm. They give it up for many other reasons. And so to actually have something that replaces the taste or the texture, you know, is only a positive thing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, we've grown up with many of these foods and we get very attached to them. And so to find something that doesn't cause any suffering and yet still tastes delicious, I can't see any problem with that in the slightest.
No.
So, I mean, you know, everybody likes certain flavours and certain textures. And so to recreate that in some way is...
That's the point I was trying to make. You've
exactly.
just made it far better than I did. Thank
I didn't
you very
know about
much.
That.
The problem with a lot of these meat substitutes, though, is some contain egg and milk, don't they? Which obviously you can't have as a vegan.
That's right, yes. Unfortunately, a lot of the supermarkets are catching on now, and they're realising that there are over 500,000 vegans in the UK, and it's a continuously growing market, basically. Mm. And so it's not in their interest to continue to put egg white and cream, various other things into vegetarian products, because you're cutting off all of the vegans.
Yeah.
I mean, there are obviously a lot of vegan substitutes out there. But, I mean, it always annoys me when I go to the supermarket and I'm trying to find something and I look at the ingredients and sure enough, it's got eggs or dairy in there. It seems incredibly unnecessary to me.
Yeah. But it has been a step forward, at least that those ingredients are now printed on the back and you can clearly see what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And like I said, the supermarkets are catching on and are, I think some of them are probably working towards trying to make a lot of the veggie substitutes vegan. So that's good progress. Yeah.
Yeah. And even if it is just because they want to sell us more products, that's fine. It doesn't really matter, does it?
Yeah. I mean, I just want as much availability as possible, really, and make it as easy as possible for everyone. And it is a hell of a, it's never been easier to be vegan.
Yeah, you have to admire people who were vegan 30 years ago when it was just not roast and sprouts.
Yes.
I don't know how anybody did it.
Yeah.
It is so easy now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So a traditional Christmas dinner, you'd be looking at maybe five or six vegetables plus the meat. Is that the same for you? How many dishes do you like to put out on the table? What does your vegan Christmas dinner look like?
Gosh, it depends how, I was going to say lazy, but I probably should use a positive. It depends how creative I'm being. So this year I'm going to do the individual Wellingtons that I mentioned in the Christmas guide. I'm also going to do a vegan cauliflower cheese with sweet potato, which is available again on the Vegan Recipe Club website. I am also going to do a series of side vegetable dishes. So that could be, for example, luxury shredded sprouts, again with sort of pine nuts, lemon zest, and the all-important vegan parmesan.
That sounds really nice.
It's an interesting way of doing sprouts. Again, Richard Buckley, who we had as our guest chef at the Viva event a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about Brussels sprouts. He does his in a really lovely way, very simple. Cuts them in half, gets some nice quality rapeseed oil, heats that up, and then just fries them flat side down, sort of until they're golden, and then just turns them over for a couple of minutes at the end and serves them just like that. Because if you don't boil them, apparently it doesn't release the cabbagey taste. And then they're my favourite vegetable, whereas I used to hate them. So yeah.
That's some school, isn't it? When they were overcooked, soggy, falling apart. The sprouts are great vegetables.
Definitely.
What about potatoes? Obviously, most people like a roast potato for Christmas.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it is the ultimate. Again, in the Christmas guide, we've got a roast potato recipe, which uses vegetable oil, or you can use olive oil. And there is the option of using odourless coconut oil. I personally don't like all my food tasting of coconut oil.
Is that very high in saturated fat, by the way?
It is, but personally, I believe we need some saturated fat, so I don't worry too much about it.
I suppose if you're just doing it on your roast potatoes, not like drinking it from the glass or anything.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, with a vegan diet, I don't worry too much when I do get some saturated fat. So, yeah, I would use an odourless coconut oil with them.
Right.
And Maris Piper, King Edward, parboil them. And then if you leave them to cool on a drying rack, they'll start to form a crust. And that can really help with crisping them up towards the end. So, yeah, turning them every 15 minutes. But that recipe definitely is a good one.
Carrots, peas, the majority of a standard, in quotation marks, Christmas dinner is vegetables anyway, which people seem to forget.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's so many ways of tarting up vegetables. Maple syrup parsnips I'm going to have. Luxury carrots. Yeah, seasonal roast carrots, that's sort of with cinnamon, pine nuts. Yeah, there's going to be lots of vegetable side dishes. I'm also going to do the apricot stuffing, which is really, really lovely.
That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Just the apricot stuffing, even if I don't know what else is in it, it just sounds like a really good idea.
There's chestnuts as well, which is always good. Yeah. But, I mean, with stuffing, if you don't want to make your own, the shop-bought ones are all actually really quite nice, especially some of the sort of Taste the Difference and Best of and that sort of thing. And most of them are vegan anyway, so that they're really good cheat.
Before we move on to my favourite bit, the desserts.
Go on, yeah.
No. The thing that's often thrown at vegans and vegetarians is, what about the protein? Mm. I get my protein from turkey, you know. All the foods you've said there, they cover virtually every food group. I was running through my head as you were talking about them, and there's proteins in there from various different sources. There's fats from nuts. There's all kinds of things in there. It's a completely healthy diet, what you've just proposed there, rather. A healthy Christmas dinner.
Yeah, completely. I mean, it is a total myth that you can't get enough protein from a vegan diet. I mean, if you see now, there's all sorts of bodybuilders and athletes who are vegan, which you don't necessarily need that proof. But I think when you see a body that's as, you know, muscular and developed and they're on a vegan diet, there's
If they could see me.
there's no way that they're not getting enough protein. Yeah, but yeah, back to the Christmas dinner. I mean, there's even protein in potatoes, but you've got nuts, which are great for protein. I mean, soya is one of the best sources of protein. Yeah, like you said, there's protein in certain vegetables. Yeah. It's not something that I ever worry about, and I feel very healthy.
You look healthy.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
Let's go ruin it all. Talk sugar.
Go on. Yeah, that's fine.
Let's get to these desserts.
Okay.
People obviously listening to this podcast cannot see what I can see, and that's the cover of your Deliciously Vegan Christmas, which is tiny little portions of, they look like Christmas cakes with an icing and a, is it a raspberry on the top or something sprinkled meant to, like a holly?
Yeah, no, that's it. Like I said before, we've very much gone down the miniature theme this year, and with our guide, everything's gone mini just because, well, they just look cute and they look different and it's quite nice. I find it quite satisfying to have a little individual portion of something. So,
I can picture it all, actually, as you're saying it.
Really?
I can really picture a nice Christmas table with little individual dishes, a great spread, lots of colour, lots of textures.
Absolutely.
You mentioned tiramisu. How do you make a vegan tiramisu? Because that's a lot of cream and a lot of... The traditional tiramisu is a vegan nightmare, really.
Well, yeah, you've got, I mean, there's many, many vegan creams out there now. White bread mostly is going to be okay. Coffee again. So nearly every dessert you can veganize now because of the amount of soya cream, custard, there's Trex vegetable fat, all sorts of egg replacers. You know, you can even make an egg replacer out of flaxseed and water. So there's really no reason not to veganize almost any
I'm going
dessert.
To keep using that word. I love it, no, veganize. Yeah.
I forgot that it probably isn't a word, but it's
something
I use all the time. I'm also going to be making for my own Christmas dinner the raw raspberry cheesecakes, the miniature raw raspberry cheesecakes, which are basically base of coconut, ground almonds and raisins blended. And it creates a wonderful cheesecake base. And then the filling is essentially raspberries, coconut oil, maple syrup, vanilla extract. It's very, very straightforward, but tastes wonderful.
You got me a raspberry, but the rest of it sounds fantastic as well. Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds brilliant.
Yeah. So again, in the guide as well. And like you said, the Christmas pudding's on the front.
Yeah.
So yeah, again, just an individual version.
So let's nail one last myth that vegans are dour, boring, dull people. Let's just nail that, because that's not how this conversation is going, and that's not the food you're talking about. Christmas Day can be as much fun when you have a vegan dinner or a so-called traditional dinner.
Completely, yeah. I mean, to me, it doesn't even enter into my thinking, the sort of dull myth. It's just sort of, I don't know, I mean, I'm surrounded at Viva by very interesting, vibrant, lovely people. And, you know, I think the food also out there is, like I said, just so diverse and colourful and interesting and tastes amazing. Yeah, dull doesn't come into it, actually. I actually asked all of the staff at Viva what they ate for their Christmas dinner. So I don't know if you want me to read a couple. There's some quite unusual
ones. Yes, please do. Yes,
okay, so
absolutely.
I asked everybody, and a stream of very unconventional Christmas dinner options came back to me, actually. So we had pizza. There were soba noodles with aubergine and mango. One of my colleagues is from Germany, and she eats vol-au-vent with ragu. She also eats Korean bulgogi, mock beef pieces marinated in soy sauce, sesame oil, ginger, garlic, chili.
Very chili, very, very strong. I've had that in Korea. Korean bulgogi.
Yeah.
How interesting.
And then slow gin. Not Wellington.
Slow gin.
Just that, that's it.
That's what we're having for Christmas dinner. We're having slow gin. Good on you.
Yeah. had sort of some of the more traditional dishes. You know, some people said they just wanted a really nice red wine gravy. roast parsnips. Some people got really creative. Chestnut pate en croûte with artichoke and wild mushroom strudel, which sounded incredible. Someone had vegan sausage rolls with mayonnaise and pickle. And that was their parsnip and potato rosti. Homemade mince pies fresh out of the oven. Another of my colleagues is from the Czech Republic, and she said it's traditional to have potato salad for Christmas dinner. And actually, some of the salads are becoming quite trendy to have with your Christmas dinner. So some of the winter salads with the roast vegetables. Right. So she made one out of carrots, celeriac, parsnips, peas, onion, finely cut gherkins, and soya yogurt. So that was on her Christmas dinner. Wow. Some people were the only vegans in their family, and they often brought along a dish, sometimes a sort of easy, ready cook nut roast, Linda McCartney pie, or there's a V-Bite celebration roast. And Juliet, the founder of Viva, her favourite was good old nut roast with loads of veg and gravy.
Sky's the limit, really, isn't
it? Absolutely.
If you're actually tying yourself down to a meat dinner, you're far more restricted than if you forget the meat and go out and shop vegan and come up with your own ideas.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, I really do believe that. And every time I've ever eaten a Christmas dinner with meat eaters, the first thing they do, can I have some of yours? And that's what they want. So, yeah, it's so.
And you can still, of course, have all the traditional sauces like cranberry sauce and apple sauce or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And there's plenty of vegan chocolate around, should you want vegan chocolate, of course.
So much, so many amazing, amazing chocolates out there. But not just, you know, you used to think it was just dark, bitter chocolate and that was your only option. But there's, you know, there's vegan white chocolate, vegan milk chocolate. There's such an incredible array out there now.
Yeah.
You're spoilt for choice and
just,
you never
just
have
to repeat that. It has never been easier to be vegan than
definitely.
It is now.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anybody could make a vegan Christmas dinner.
Oh, yeah, easily. Yeah.
And enjoy it.
Yeah. Even if you don't like cooking and you don't want to cook at all, you could, from health food shops or supermarket or a combination of both, you know, you've got Aunt Bessie's roast potatoes, Paxo stuffing, you've got nut roast, Linda McCartney pies. Again, like I said, V-Bite celebration roast, cranberry sauce, Bisto gravy, Merchant gourmet chestnuts, dairy-free ice creams that are available everywhere. There's something called Food Heaven dairy-free cheesecake, vegan mince pies, sometimes accidentally, but also purposely created vegan mince pies. So
we don't all need to pile around to your house.
You can if you want to, but it's not necessary. So yeah, but can I ask about you guys and what you guys have for your Christmas dinner, or what you're planning to have, or if you're cooks or not?
Actually, I'm not a cook, but I will be having vegan. I will be using that recipe book, I suspect, and a lot of the ideas you've come up with now.
Oh, great.
So it's been really helpful.
Oh, good.
Really helpful. Yeah, that's why I was asking some of the old prejudices and myths, you know, because I'm still aware of those. And I'm sure people listening to this will be thinking, well, can you really have fun? Can it really be that much variety? Is it that tasty? Actually, yes, it can be that tasty. There's plenty of variety. Go and enjoy yourself.
Definitely.
I think that there's some really interesting options that you've been talking about just there. I think normally, like I mentioned earlier, what we're going to have this year is the mushroom Wellington, but cauliflower cheese or cauliflower vegan cheese would be something that I really like to make during the year as well, which would really complement a Christmas dinner quite well. Roast potatoes as well, just going back to that for a minute, and the potato part of the dinner. If you put a bit of Marmite on a roast potato as it's baking, that's really good. I'm going to do a sweet potato and ginger mash as well this year too.
That sounds
nice.
And then I was thinking I'm going to do like doing like some kind of eaten mess with a chickpea based meringue.
Amazing.
It's going to be on my menu too.
Sounds great. Yeah.
Fantastic ideas, Marianne. Thank you so much for your time. And I really hope people will go out and try these things.
Yeah.
And you can get these recipes online as well.
Yeah. So basically, go to veganrecipeclub.org.uk. We've got a whole Christmas section on there of main courses, starters and desserts. And if you'd like to buy the Christmas guide, which I do really recommend, it is amazing. It's called The Deliciously Vegan Christmas Guide, and you can get it from vivashop.org.uk/Xmas recipes. So I recommend either of those two for some inspiration for your lovely Christmas feasts.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Marianne.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Marianne Hall, Viva's food and cookery coordinator. Those inspiring recipes are online, as Marianne said. And if you'd like to learn more about Viva's work, please go to viva.org.uk. Thank you for listening. And if you'd like to hear more Lush podcasts, perhaps the companion podcast to this one, where I talk with Viva's founder, Juliet Galatly, about turkeys and factory farming, please download the Lush Player app, which is available for both Android and Apple.